Of course, there was a major roadblock to considering another book. As the years have gone by and the Dalai Lama's role on the world stage has grown, there have been escalating demands on his schedule. He simply might not have the time. Not to mention that there were more important things for him to do. I worried that he might not agree to it, that he wouldn't be able to find the time. Still, I knew his Achilles heel, his secret weakness, one that I was prepared to exploit shamelessly, his sincere wish to be of service to others. It is well known among those close to him that the Dalai Lama has a hard time saying no to any project if he feels that it would be of some benefit to others. And in making my request, I knew that if all else failed, he is susceptible to whining. Fortunately, it didn't take much whining. Once convinced that there would be some benefit to others by our meeting, he readily agreed. And so we found ourselves together once again at his home in Dharamsala, India, preparing to begin work on a sequel to The Art of Happiness. Our first book had focused on the general theme of inner development, but, as was pointed out to me by many readers, an individual does not live in a vacuum. We live in the world, interact with society, and the society we live in can clearly have an impact on the individual. So we began by mapping out a course of action, preparing a list of the topics that we had omitted from our first book. It quickly became clear that in our first book we had avoided any in-depth discussion of problems in society. There was a reason for that. As I pointed out in our first book, by inclination as well as by training as a psychiatrist, I'd always confined my field of interest to exploring the inner workings of the human mind, the human psyche. I was always fascinated with inner dynamics, how various destructive emotions arose and manifested in the lives of individuals. Discussion of the wider issues of society held little interest for me, and besides, the myriad problems in society seemed so vast, so overwhelming, so daunting, that my reaction was simply to block them out. Denial, that old standby defense mechanism, a popular favorite. While I was no longer practicing individual psychotherapy, I could well remember sessions when the patient would start talking about her or his job worries, money problems, finances, living in a violent world, and my mind would immediately begin to wander. It wasn't that these issues were not legitimate sources of the patient's suffering, but these problems seemed so solutionless that I simply felt helpless. And so as soon as the patient began talking about these issues, my eyes would glaze over as a kind of invisible film descended over my mind. I comforted myself by reasoning that since there was nothing I could do about these things, there was no way for me to help. I even remember feeling vaguely offended, put out, when patients brought up these issues in therapy. Hey, that's not my job. Couldn't they understand that? During the discussions that led to our first book, the Dalai Lama had often brought up global issues and problems in society. But I had always managed to slip away, redirect him, and bring the discussion back to the level of the individual. Yet, here we were, confronting the bigger picture once again. The list of topics we were developing was legion. Violence, fear for the safety of ourselves and our families, racism and intolerance, poverty, pollution and destruction of the environment, the disintegration of the family, growing old in a youth-oriented culture, dwindling financial and personal resources, corporate greed and scandals, unemployment, widespread job dissatisfaction. The list went on and on. If we were to explore all facets of the human experience, have a holistic approach to human suffering and happiness, there was no way that we could avoid facing these problems head on. In the post-9/11 world and the post-Enron economy, these issues loomed larger than ever.